listening to Just Ask Malia with Malia Hoard of the Malia Realty Group in Lexington, Kentucky.
Hey, everybody, it's Malia Hoard, and I am down here at the Bourbon Table with Vicki Tranter of Chicken Salad Chick. And if you guys haven't heard about Chicken Salad Chick, this is your opportunity to get on the edge of your seats and listen to this incredible story. Vicki is the first franchise owner of Chicken Salad Chick in Kentucky, and that is a huge feat. And she's also a dear friend, so I'm super excited to sit here with you and share your story and let everybody know how you got here. So welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Vicki, so first franchise owner of Chicken Salad Chick. Not only is that a feat, but also the story of Chicken Salad is amazing. There's so much I want to dive into and share with everybody. And the purpose of this podcast is to let everybody know that, one, success doesn't just happen overnight like some people think. I mean, there's one in a million that does. But your story is one of years, decades of grit and grime and hard work and labor of love. And I want to get into all of that and let people know that the famous Chicken Salad Chick lady really got here because of everything that you did up to now.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I love Chicken Salad Chick. I love the concept. I love the brand. I love the founder. Yeah, I was thrilled to be allowed to bring this to Kentucky.
Okay, so the founder, Stacy Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Tell us a little bit about Stacy, how you met her, how you got the opportunity to be number one in Kentucky.
It started back in 2012. I was on vacation in Panama City, went for a run, and I came upon this little concept called Chicken Salad Chick, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cute. I currently, at that time, had owned Annie Ann's Pretzels in the Fayette Mall and was kind of wanting to get out of the mall and do something different. So I started contacting them, and they kept telling me that they were a small concept and that they couldn't go that far north. So I just kept on for 4 years, beating the door, and finally got the opportunity to get an interview to apply.
Isn't that amazing? Most people think that, oh, it's so easy to get a franchise. It's so easy to just apply. You can show up with a check, and we'll talk about you showing up with a check one day. But it didn't just start with Chicken Salad Chick. You didn't just look and run by Chicken Salad Chick and say, oh, I want that. You have always had an entrepreneur mind and spirit. So let's maybe reverse. Let's go back and start at the very beginning, because you weren't born in Kentucky. So I kind of feel that kindred spirit, but you've been here almost your entire life. So let's talk about, where is Vicki from? How did you grow up? Where did you grow up? Because you also didn't grow up in Lexington.
Exactly. Okay. I was born in Orland Park, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. And parents were from Eastern Kentucky, Letcher County. My dad was from Pike County. And when I was 6 years old, we moved back. So I was raised in Jenkins, a little small town. I graduated with, like, I think 55 people.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Went to college at EKU. And graduated in 89 and started working in mental health and substance abuse. So I was a counselor.
So is that because of your majors?
Mm-hmm. I majored in social work.
And now you're in food. Amazing. So everybody out there, just because you graduate and agree, that doesn't mean your whole life is destined to do that. So keep going, because you got some good little ahas coming.
Yes. So I didn't work in that field very long. And got married, and my husband was the entrepreneur. Brilliant. He was a brilliant man. Taught me a lot. He was a developer, and he did shopping centers and various things. And for whatever reason, he wanted to get involved in food. So that's how this started. So there was a new concept at the time that was started here in Lexington. It was Fazoli's.
Yes, everybody has that.
Yes. A funny story. He went 3 times to interview with them and had his check all written out at the time to buy the franchise, and they kept sending him home saying, no, you're not the right fit.
So was Fazoli's franchise already in Lexington, or was it the corporate headquarters trying to branch out? Did we have
yes,
one?
Yes, it was. Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did.
So he was trying to get another one.
Yeah. So we knew that we'd have to move because Lexington was corporate market. So the thing with franchise businesses, you kind of go where there's availability.
That's right.
A lot of times you do have to move. So long story short, I went to the interview. My daughter was like, 6 months old, 4 months old at the time, my first daughter, Holly Ann. And I had no interest in doing food because I was doing in the private sector doing counseling, and that was okay. So I went to this interview and walked out with basically a signed contract with a franchise agreement.
So wait a second. Like, your husband goes three times, developer, Mr. Entrepreneur, Mr. Businessman, owning this, owning that, and he can't get the franchise with Fazoli's. Three times in a row, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout.
That's right.
He sends his wife with a four-month-old baby, and you land the franchise.
Exactly. I love Cooney. Cooney's a great man. I have to do a shout-out to him for sure. He's a wonderful man. But yes, so we had originally looked in South Carolina and decided that wasn't the right market for us. So I packed up my baby. We had just bought a new home and moved to Roanoke, Virginia.
Because that's where you guys got
that's
the
where
franchise.
We got the franchise. So let me tell you, talk about trying to sell an item. He and I would go to the banks with our portfolio trying to get a business loan, and they laughed us out because we were like, we have an Italian restaurant. And they're like, yeah, but it's fast food Italian. Not going to happen. So it was really, really hard to get a loan. I mean, seriously, we eventually had to take on some local partners who had some connections with the bank, and we were blessed to actually buy their part out before we hit it really big. We were very successful with Fazoli's.
So how long did you have that Fazoli's?
For years. We owned the market. We had one in Blacksburg, Virginia, Virginia Tech. Go Hokies. We had one in Salem. We had Lynchburg. We had five Fazoli's in that market.
Okay, but you're now in Virginia. You're almost born and raised in Kentucky, in my standards. What happened after that?
Well, after that, we moved back to Lexington, and he decided we still had our Fazoli's, okay? We had someone running them for us. I would still go up every 4 or 5 weeks and check them out. He, by the way, was not involved in the restaurants. He did the development of buying the land. I ran the restaurants. Yeah, that was fun.
That's often how it happens, right? Just throw you into the fire, throw you into the pool, learn how to swim, learn how to put out the fire. That's how most business owners got their success, was just by learning day in and day out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody's going to run that business like you do.
Well, and looking back now, like with those five, what were some of those ahas? Like, what was the biggest mistake you made when you guys got the franchises? Because I always say fail forward.
Exactly. I think of those five, we were successful, all of them except for one. So I think location is major. Location and honestly, hiring. Getting the right people that have the same vision that you have is very important.
We say that too. I mean, I don't care what industry or what business you have. When you have to hire to your culture. So many times we hire to the talent or the skills, but if the culture and the mindset isn't in line, it's never going to work. And now hiring's really tough, right? Back then it was a little bit easier, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, so much easier.
Yeah.
So much easier. And we were really blessed too, because the community really, they took us in. They loved our concept. They loved that we were a married couple and that we worked our business, and they really involved us in the community. And that was very nice. I was young and didn't have friends and left my family. It was hard.
And you had young babies.
I did. I know.
Yeah.
See, she was 2 years old. She turned 2 years old when we lived there, and she would walk around with the bread basket. Remember when they used to do that?
Yeah.
Hand out the bread.
Yeah. Do they not do that anymore? I think COVID like killed everything, huh?
It's terrible. I don't eat there anymore. I worked it so long and eat there 3 meals a day. So I don't.
Oh, my kids grew up on Fazoli's right around the corner.
Exactly.
You know, we used to do that after swim meets or baseball. It was a good, easy fix.
I actually trained at that location.
Oh.
I had to go to training for 6 weeks. I'm still nursing my daughters.
Okay. So you have five franchises. You guys move back to Lexington. You have someone manage your franchises. Kudos. Keeping to build wealth. I'm all about that. What happens next?
Well, my husband decided that he wanted to be in the hotel business.
Oh, that was very thoughtful of him.
Exactly. I guess you got to go and tour all the carpet factories and the vinyl companies. And that kind of was fun, the mattress companies. So I traveled and researched to the hotels. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys went on to buy a bunch of franchises.
Over the years, we've owned several for sure. Yes. Carpet cleaning, pizza places, steakhouses. Yeah.
Hotels, Hampton Inns, Best Westerns, Holiday Inns.
Yes, ma'am.
So this isn't something that you just stumble into either. Like looking back, there's so many people out there looking to get into the franchise business and saying, oh, I've got this great idea. I've built this business. I'm going to franchise it. I listened to some of our real estate peers thinking they're going to franchise their brokerages, and kudos to you. I listen to people that come up with a great concept and want to franchise it. What is that like? Because I don't know. I know you just have to pay someone for the franchise and you have to qualify and you have to show financials. What else? I mean, what goes into that?
I think it's different with each concept. You have to have, of course, you know, the financial means. Your portfolio has to be strong. I think they look at whether or not you're willing to go to the market that you're opening that franchise in, that if you're going to be involved. It's been kind of different with each concept. I know we actually got approved for Golden Corral, and I actually met the founder, Ted Fowler. So we went to North Carolina and interviewed with him, and that was really intense. That was the hardest interview I think I'd ever gone to. I literally got interviewed by either 10 or 12 department heads.
Wow.
I mean, like math equations. I'm not even joking. I don't know how they do now, but at the time, you cut your own meat. It was intense.
At Golden Corral.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
It was a lot. So we moved to Florida to open it, and I decided I didn't want to do that. No, my husband was like, he knew he couldn't do it without me if I wasn't working. So that's actually how I got back to Kentucky. We moved there to do that, and we didn't end up doing that. And I moved back to Kentucky and opened up the Annie Ann's and the Fayette Mall.
So that's when you and I met.
Yes.
Annie Ann's. And for everybody out there, that pretzel that you see in the airports or the shopping malls, you had Annie Ann's. Now, when did you open that up?
I opened that up in May of 2004.
You had that a long time, like another child.
And there was a lot of life-changing things that happened when I owned Annie Ann's.
And I remember when I would be in the mall, it was either you working and you would have like dust all over your pants and your hair out. The girls were working. There was always a line.
Yes.
Always. And you know me, coming from production at that time, I had Elegantly Handled. So we had our gift company and we were kind of doing the same assembly line. And I remember you and I exchanging just the challenges that we had with, you know, staffing when the weather was good and people didn't want to come to work. And you and I ended up having to go back and double time on work. And I remember just the monotony of it and missing out on our kids' events, but yet the reward of it. I mean, I think we both thrive on that spirit of the business.
Oh, absolutely. It was hard. I think that's the hardest I've ever worked in my life. I mean, I was raised with great work ethic. I had parents that were hard workers. That one probably harder than any concept that I had, for sure.
Very labor intensive.
Very. Every 30 minutes, you had to throw those pretzels out. So it's not like you could bulk produce and fill that warmer up and walk away. You were constantly rolling those pretzels. Don't have nightmares about that.
But you held on to it for a long time because...
I did. I knew I had gotten to a position where I wanted to do something else and branch out. I really wanted out of the mall.
Well, let's talk about, because it was at the mall, and you mentioned that you started with the chicken salad concept. I think you got accepted in 2016, but it took you 4 years to really actually get to that point with chicken salad.
Well, at the time when I was asking about the franchise opportunity, they were not coming that far north. So I was too far from like their commissaries. They couldn't get food to me. So they weren't going to branch out that far. In the meantime, I'd had some headhunters reaching out to me, wanting me to bring other concepts to Lexington. And I had looked at several. I looked at another Broken Egg, which is a great concept.
Oh, yeah.
I have a good friend in Louisiana who owns them. And they liked my background. It was just at that time, they didn't feel like that Lexington, Kentucky had the demographics.
Well, did they not know? Because I always thought, when we had Shakespeare and Company, right, that Lexington is one of the highest cities in the whole entire nation for people that eat out.
They do.
Yeah.
Isn't amazing?
Yeah.
Amazing. That was Ohio. At that time, they weren't doing the smaller concepts. You know, it took us a while to get a Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, it did?
The only reason they started making scaling down. And I think that was the same thing. They thought Louisville was a big enough market to go into, but they didn't think at that time Lexington was. But I looked at other concepts and I really didn't want one that was so laborious. So I jumped from the pot to the frying pan. Now I have three times as many employees as I did with Annie Ann's. So it took a while. And I actually there was a lot that was going on with the corporate office. The founder had actually lost her husband in his 40s to cancer. But I'm glad I did hold on. I honestly couldn't imagine my life without chicken salad chick.
Seriously. Let's talk about chicken salad chick. For those of you that don't know this concept, it's all handmade. You guys do it every day. Fresh chicken salads. How many flavors do you have?
We have 12.
12 flavors.
If you haven't had our product, I think people think it comes in buckets and we just scoop it out. But we actually have raw, never frozen chicken tenders that we stack and cook. There's days that we cook up to 400 pounds of chicken salad.
Oh my God.
I know. So Classic Carol is our base. It's what we marry all the other flavors to get the other profiles. So we have some with bacon ranch and cheddar, which is Sassy Scotty. We have buffalo. We have Olivia's Ode South, which is eggs and pickles. We have Fancy Nancy, which is grapes, apple, pecans. We have gourmet sides. We have broccoli salad, which we cut the broccoli off the head and chop. We have grape salad, which we wash and dry those grapes. And you have to dry them to get that cream cheese that mixture stick to it so it's not runny. We make the pasta salad. We actually cook the pasta there and make the pasta. So the only things that we really don't make in-house is the mac and cheese and the soups and the cookies. Everything else.
I think that's so important for people to know that
yes,
when they're going in there and ordering this is all handmade, fresh, every single day.
And, you know, we had talked about at one point having Classic Carol made in an offsite and then shipped to us and us Mary. But then that's where you get your preservatives. I mean, that's why it tastes so good.
Because it's fresh.
It's fresh. Yeah.
Okay. How long does it last in the refrigerator? I've always wanted to.
Okay. Yes, of course. So our sell-by date, it will last 5 to 6 days.
Okay. Yeah. And then after that, throw it away. It's not even going to be there.
Don't freeze it. People want to freeze it. I'm like, please don't do that.
So you make 400 pounds. You cook 400 pounds of chicken a day.
We up to, yeah.
Up to.
Probably our average this time of year, because this is our slow season, is about 280 to 320.
I just can't even comprehend that.
On Saturday nights, we donate a lot of it because we have to get rid of everything. And we start from scratch on Monday mornings.
That's
everything is made.
Yeah.
We have pimento cheese. My favorite thing is our spicy pimento cheese. Love it.
I love the jalapeno. Oh, that's my favorite.
It's good.
It's always spicy. Okay, so I want to talk about Chicken Salad Chick's story. Tell me about Sandra Brown.
Stacy Brown?
Stacy Brown, sorry.
She was a stay-at-home mother who had 3 children and went through a divorce. So she was trying to think of something that she could do and still be an active mom and involved in her kids' lives. So she thought, you know, this is a true story. I love chicken salad. I mean, who doesn't like chicken salad? I love chicken salad. So she set out truly to make the best chicken salad. She tried everything to get the perfect flavors. She would walk around and give it to her hairdresser, her masseuse, or her neighbors, and would say, now, what would you tweak on this? And what would you do? And she just took all this information. So she started going to the ball field and selling it to her children's friends' moms and dads. And they said, now, who is that chicken salad lady? Who is that chick that goes around selling this chicken? So she was doing it out of her home, and somebody turned her into the health department, which was the best thing ever, though, because it forced her to get a location. So she got a location in Auburn, Alabama.
Of all places. What a great place to get it with college there.
Oh, I love it. It's a nice town, great people. And it kind of just evolved from there.
So she started with one location. You are store number 100. Such a cool number.
Yeah.
How many stores are there now?
There are 260.
So over the years. And she started, when was her first location open? Do you remember?
2006.
And so it's a very new franchise. And she started this with a great idea. And how many of us were always looking for an idea of how can we work, make extra money, and still raise our kids and be involved in their lives?
Exactly. And I've had people say, I can't believe you just sell chicken salad. I mean, we have turkey and egg and pimento, but she believed it and did it. And I mean, literally the first day she was open, she ran out of the product because it's fresh. It's like going to a donut shop. When you're out of the donuts, you're out of that flavor.
That's right.
And I think people sometimes come in late afternoon and they're so upset that we don't have the flavor, and we try to get it to them quickly. But if you don't have Classic Carol, you're not mixing. So we try never to run out of Classic Carol, which is the base. But yeah, she believed in it, and she sold out the first day, and then she doubled the amount of pounds that she cooked and sold out the second day. And then she kept doubling everything and kept running.
That's amazing. Well, and think about that too, is the brilliant concept. There's so many businesses that you get one good idea and then you think you have to have every good idea and you fail. She kept to the concept of chicken salad. She just changed the flavor of the chicken salad, but held true to that one concept, and it has literally exploded.
Yes, we've been very blessed, for sure.
Well, let's talk about when you get the call that you finally have the opportunity, because this is a great story, guys. You finally get the opportunity to interview for the franchise. You've been blowing up their phone for 4 years, and you get the call. What's going on with Vicky's world?
You were very involved in my life at that time. I had been turned down so many times, you know, saying that they weren't coming this far. So finally got a hold of someone at corporate office, and I was like, I'll come down there, interview, if you just give me first run of refusal, even if it's 5 years from now, just I want to be involved with this concept. And they were like, okay, we'll have the person that was in charge of franchising at the time call you. And I was like, okay, yeah, right. So I was cooking dinner one night, and I took this random phone call. I thought it was a telemarketer because it was someone from Texas. You know, we're out of Auburn. And it was actually the franchise person, Carrie, and she called me, and she was like, you know, this is Carrie with Chicken Salad Chick. I almost fell over. I turned off all my stuff I was cooking for dinner and went outside and took the phone call. And 2 hours later, I come back inside and tell my now husband what was going on. And so I was planning a wedding.
You were planning a wedding. You were selling a house. You were buying a house.
Selling two houses.
Yeah. And
that time I was a realtor.
And you get the call. You have to come to Auburn.
Yes. And I said, okay, I can, but it's going to be a couple weeks. And they were like, well, we have a waiting list for Lexington, Kentucky. So you need to scoot on down here. And I got in the car the next day and drove to Auburn, Alabama.
But think about that. Like, you were willing to do the unreasonable, to have the unreasonable dream. And so many people think that everything has to be on their timetable. It has to work out perfectly. I see so many people plan their entire life like, I have to do this. I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to graduate, and then we're going to date for 2 years, and then we're going to get married, and then we'll have a baby, and then we're going to start a business. And it's so planned out that we forget to have that creativity and the white space and the impulse to just jump and just take that risk. I mean, you stopped everything you were doing over dinner and said, oh God, I'm planning a wedding. I'm selling two houses. Like, this is the worst possible time. And you still said yes.
It was a bad time. For sure. Yes, I wanted it. And I was going to do what it took to make it happen. For sure. If I didn't get it, it wasn't because I wasn't trying.
Well, and sometimes we say yes until you can figure out all the cards, right? You never turn down an opportunity. Opportunity's never lost. It's just found by somebody else. So you go to Auburn. What was that like? Because you're really good at interviewing with franchises.
You know, it's intense because all the department heads are there, you know, the CEO, the CFO, the training department, they're all there.
Is it one by one like it was at like the other ones, or is it like all open and everybody's all just drilling into the questions?
They were really good, though. They were super nice, very hospitable. But they laughed. They said, I think that was the first time we've ever been interviewed. I interviewed them. I was asking them as many questions as they were asking me. I mean, this is a marriage. You want to make sure that's right.
I loved what you just said. It's a marriage. It's actually a partnership, right? And when you get into a partnership, it's a marriage, whether it's between people or businesses or ideas, you have to be on the same page. Like we said with our employees, you have to hire to your culture.
Exactly. So I left the interview and was on my way back to Lexington with my oldest daughter, Holly Ann, and I got the phone call that I was the newest chick on the block.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It was chick on the block.
I'll never forget that. It was amazing. I was excited.
Okay, but when you left the interview, what did they say to you?
That they were going to discuss it and that they would be in touch with me in a few days. And I got the call like 2 hours later. And then that was in August of 2016, and it took me 2 years to find a location.
Oh, I remember. You were looking for everything because you wanted a drive-through. We looked at every drive-through, and you had probably every agent looking because that's what it takes.
It does. Now I'm the poster child for no drive-through. And it was okay until COVID. I was like, man, I wish I had a drive-through.
Well, and that was one of their requirements, wasn't it?
A drive-through?
Yeah.
Now, they actually say you don't need a drive-through. With this concept and that, you know, we're all fighting for the same spot, you know, the same space, the end cap of a shopping center with a drive-through. They're hard to get, you know.
They are. Yep. That end unit. And to find a drive-through, there's all hoops to go through.
They actually told me my location in Brandon was a C location. And I did it anyway. I mean, they were okay. They approved it, but it's been amazing. The volume that we've done out of that store.
Well, and at that time, you know, 2016, you find it in 2018. I mean, we're talking 5 years ago. Brandon was being built, but nowhere near the capacity it is now.
Right. They had just opened Home Goods. And I remember us under construction watching all the little sorority girls and college girls go there to get their stuff, to get their dorms ready and their houses ready.
Okay. So you get approved in 2016. You don't get your location till 2018. How long did it take you to build out?
About 3 months.
So think about this, guys. It's a process. This doesn't happen overnight. So mind you, she's like the queen of franchising at this point, right? Like, we have a laundry list of 10 franchises plus that she's already been involved in. So she knew what to expect. But every process is different. I say that with real estate. We all follow the same process, but it's always different for each client. And here you are, 2018. You have to build out a white vanilla shell. So you have all that construction, then you got to hire your employees, then you've got to start your marketing. Like, which was the hardest part? Or were you just so excited you didn't care?
I didn't care. I was so excited.
Yeah.
So when we opened up November 8th in a sleet storm. I mean, it was sleeting, raining. People camped out the night before. And so we had this reputation of people camping out for the openings of chicken salads. I was like, nobody's going to do that. We're the farthest north. It's raining. I was so nervous. And I'll never forget, I pull into the parking lot. They were past Kroger in line for the opening. And I just started crying. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was so excited.
You build it and they'll come.
And they did. And the community has been so supportive of us. We have people that drive from Frankfort to get our product, you know, Danville.
Oh, I have clients in Eastern Kentucky that when they're here, they come and get your chicken salad check.
Yes, they bring their cooler. So blessed.
So you have this franchise. It's doing well. Let's give kudos, okay, because you won't brag, but I'll brag for you. Last year, you were the number one franchise in the entire country.
We were number one in sales. Yeah.
Number one in sales. And this year, you're ranking to be the number one again.
Yes.
Okay. How many other chicken salads are there in Kentucky?
I think there's one in Paducah, Bowling Green, Owensboro, 3 in Louisville. They're going to open a 4th one in the Oxford Wall. A great franchise lady that's opening that one up.
When are we getting more in Lexington?
Well, we signed a lease in April of last year for Hamburg, and it's still not under construction, so we're trying desperately.
But you have the monopoly or you have the market for this area. So there are more coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you able to share how many you want to open up? Are you able to give us a little sneak peek?
Definitely three.
Okay.
Definitely three.
Okay. So far we have one that's already outbeating every location in the United States. And you said there's over 260. So that's kudos.
Thank you.
Everything you touch is golden.
Well, so do you. You're the same way.
That's why we're together. Okay, but what happened to Annie Ann's?
Well, I feel like I don't give enough. The founder of Annie Ann's was amazing. I loved her as well. She was great. So I sold it a year and a half ago. Yes, it's still in the mall.
So that's like your child. You raised your girls on that.
I heard that they co-branded with Subway. They're doing pretzels with Subway now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hard times. Though you sold it. No, mind you had Annie Ann's, and I'm going to skip around a little bit. Because COVID, you open up Chicken Salad Chick in 2018, you still have the pretzel stand in the mall, and then the world shuts down in March of 2020. What happened then? Like, what are the challenges? And I know we've learned so much because of it.
Sure. It was scary. I mean, nobody wanted to own a restaurant during COVID, especially when you had to shut your doors.
That's right.
And you don't have a drive-through. It was really scary, but we were blessed, and we started doing what we call the drops, where we would take pre-orders and we'd go into different communities around the area and drop off their food. So we went to Danville, we went to Frankfort, we went to Versailles, Richmond, Georgetown. In fact, we're doing one in Georgetown in a few days. They love us. Georgetown loves us. But we rented refrigerator trucks. People prepaid. We took their credit card information over the phone. I remember being there at 10 o'clock at night taking payment for orders. But we were blessed to keep several of our staff on. We just shut the doors and we made like a makeshift factory. We took the tables out and put them together, took the chairs out, and we would put all these orders together.
Like an assembly line.
Like an assembly line. And we'd load up the refrigerated truck. We'd rent these trucks and just go into these communities. And it was the best advertising. So it ended up, you got to take the good from everything bad. I'm a firm believer. And mine is, we could have paid for better advertising. What a way to do it. But we got into communities that would have never known of us because we're not on TV.
That's right.
And they're loyal guests of ours now. They come and see us. You know, they buy from us.
So how did you get the drops? Did you advertise on Facebook?
We did. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, word of mouth. You know, we would try to get into different groups, community groups, like the food page. You know, Lexington has that, and Mommy and Me groups, you know. And that's just how we did it. I'm blessed. I have an amazing person that's in charge of my catering, Cindy Hurley. So many people know her just from all the marketing that she does. And that's how we did it. We just rarely tell anyone no. I mean, we have a 24-hour usually catering window that we shut it off after 24 hours because everything is from scratch and we have to do our numbers. But that's how we went into the communities and communities that there will probably never be one just because of the size of the town.
Right.
And so it was fun. It was fun to get to meet our neighbors.
But it was, you really went beyond that though. That whole drop-off process was brilliant how you did it. You really gave that personal touch. And I think during COVID, people were craving that. They just craved the touch, even though you weren't allowed to touch. And you figured that out. Explain that.
That's just
you. I know
but
that.
That's our concept. If you're not warm and fuzzy, and we love our guests. I mean, we have regulars. They're our family. They truly are my family. I lost my mother and father several years ago, and I still love going to work, genuinely. I love walking in the door. Because I love to see my guests. They're just amazing. And they support us. I mean, the whole community, I think really, we all try to support each other during that time.
Well, you don't go to work. You go to your passion. And I always talk about it. And I love everybody that's been at the bourbon table talks about that. They don't feel like they're going to work. It's their passion. It's their drive. It keeps them happy. And hence, we call it our happy place here because we love coming to the office. And being with our team and being with our clients, just like you do when you go to check.
I mean, if you're in a job right now and you're not happy, you could find the right job. Never think you're stuck, ever.
It was interesting. Every morning I listen to The Daily Fire by Brendon Burchard. And today he talked about don't give up on your standards. And he said there's three things you should never, ever do. The first thing is that you should never compromise your beliefs in who you are. The second thing is that you should always set your expectations high and never let anyone knock them down because people are really good about saying your standards are too high because theirs are too low.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
The third one was never negotiate against yourself. Be who you are. People will accept you or not. And people are always going to say that you're a workaholic. How many times have you said, oh, you're so busy, right? All your friends calling you, I know you're so busy. No, they don't. They don't. I'll say it again and again. Busy people are worried about what intentional people are doing because we know what we want to do when we get up in the morning. We have our day set. We know what our goal is. We know what our vision is. We know the people we're taking. And we want to do something significant. It's not about the money all the time. It's about what we're doing for the community. And we talked about this, which I love too, as business owner, because we could like get together and we'll forget about how much time has passed because we just sit there and talk about the businesses and the next thing we want to do and how we're expanding or the things we've done. And I love the fact that you're always like thinking about the next great thing or the next thing you want to do and how to get there and who it's going to entail. And we talked about our accomplishments, yours being number one, but it's not about the top line, is it?
No.
It's about the bottom line. And tell me, like, you've seen it with peers and people running different businesses, like the focus is wrong.
Yes, you have to think about the bottom line for sure. In the food business, we always talk about food and labor. Those are the two things you can control. There's not a lot you can control with rent, your insurance and things like that. But yeah, you have to stay on top of it. You can leave a lot of money on the table if you don't, a lot of waste.
What's your biggest struggle right now? Or do you have them at this point? I mean, you're 5 years in. I mean, that's a milestone.
Finding the right people, truly. That's probably the most difficult. Because we have a great product. We have a great clientele. We have a great location. So it's getting those people, like you said, that have your vision and passion. And I know we're food, we're selling chicken salad. I know people are thinking that. But our goal, and we teach our employees, is you want each person to leave there happy. Like, we know some of our guests, we know their grandchildren and their children and where they go to church and where they're from. And we talk to them. You know, we go out to the table, we talk to them. And we want to make them feel good.
Well, and it's a homey place, too. I mean, you've got that chick feeling when you walk in the door. It's bright and colorful and
drinking sweet tea on the front porch.
Yeah. It's like drinking sweet tea. The lemonade is the best, guys. I'm just going to tell you. It's right there. We order it by a 5-gallon jug. It's crack.
Yep. What's your favorite flavor?
I love your jalapeno chicken salad. I'm just all about the spice and hot and sassy. I love that. And I do. I'm a big classic girl after that. We'll get it just for dinner without even the little croissants. We just want to eat it with crackers and the dip, and we'll sit around with like 4 different flavors and just have big time for dinner. That's the best dinner there is. Okay, so what comes next? Now you've got the chicken salad chick, Annie Ann's is gone. What does the future hold for Vicki Tranter now?
Well, I hope developing my area agreement and building more stores. I don't know. I don't know that this is the end for me. There might be one more concept I have.
You're young. Yeah, we are young. Knock on wood. There we go. Okay, so everybody, if you want to find Chicken Salad Chick, this is how you're going to do it. It's in Brandon Crossing. It's between Home Goods and Kroger. You can't miss it. It's a cute little storefront, and you can go in there. You can eat inside the restaurant. There's eat-in dining. You can take it to go. You have a catering online website that you can order. And you are not open on Sundays, are you?
No,
you get a day off. I love that. I love that you and Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby aren't open on Sundays. That just, it's so inconvenient for people that I love it. It makes them want you even more when you can't have something, you have it. Okay, what's the best way for them to find you?
Our Facebook page, Instagram,
okay.
Our website. Or just call us, 859-273-4000. And
nice,
for Cindy or Vicki.
As for Cindy or Vicki, they do great catering. If you guys are around, we always use them for our big events. So they order small and large platters. So that's always fun. You can get it by the little buckets, the little tins, and then the big tins.
Half a pound approximately, or a pound. We do fruit platters, vegetable platters, cheese balls.
Cookies.
Yeah.
All good. Well, Vicki's got a wealth of opportunity. If any of you are interested in knowing more about a franchise or the opportunity, make sure you get in touch with Vicki. She is a wealth of knowledge. Be sure to watch out in Hamburg, because it is coming, hopefully sooner than later. We've all been on the edge of our seats waiting for the 40509 to finally get its location open. And if you haven't been there, stay tuned, because we're going to raffle something off and maybe you can be the lucky winner.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Vicki. And as always, everybody, if you've got a great story of somebody's success story around our community, we want to share it. Success isn't easy, but it's so worth it. And it doesn't happen overnight. And we're going to peel back the onions of those success stories around our community. So if you've got a good one that we need to share, let us know. We'd be happy to get them around our bourbon table. And remember, when you're ready to buy, sell, build, or invest, just ask Malia. Well, that wraps up another great podcast. Thank you so much for joining us at the Just Ask Malia podcast series. It's always a pleasure to help the local and future residents of Kentucky make smart real estate decisions. And we love connecting you to our community. And that's why we do this. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast series. Make sure your friends and family know all about it. Tag, like us, find us on Facebook, social media. And remember, when you're ready to buy, sell, build, or invest, I'm your girl, Just Ask Malia.